Welcome to the Dive and Dig News Podcast. This is a particularly special news piece as we are celebrating an event that occurred 70 years ago this week, the moment that Anna Frost first discovered the underwater world, arguably a pivotal moment for the field of maritime archaeology. And it all took place on a dark winter's night in a well in Wimbledon.
There were 6 metres of black water above my head, and I sucked air through a mouthpiece, connected by hose to a pump on the surface. Sometimes I forgot and breathed through my nose, which meant drawing out the negligible quantity of air in my suit, as opposed to the supply to my mouth. A full moon shone on the snow-covered garden, but I was no longer conscious of that world. This first crazy experiment reduced the act of diving to its essentials. My mind was confused neither by exotic surroundings nor the beauties of subaqueous light and landscape, for the baptism took place in a well in Wimbledon. Later, when I took to the bottle and became a freediver, not one dependent on the surface and joined to it by a pipe, I sometimes regretted this light suit with its hand pump. A cylinder that looks like a bomb is not the easiest of travelling companions, nor is compressed air always available. Consciousness refocuses underwater, but one never loses the thrill of breaking past the surface and penetrating another world. I learned at the bottom of the well that diving involves odd psychological reactions. The mind loses its habits of anxiety, while powers of contemplation increase. Sea diving with an aqualung confirmed these impressions.
That extract, read by a voiceover artist, is taken from Anna's first book, Under the Mediterranean, where she describes her very first dive. 20 years on, and Anna found herself directing the excavation of a 3rd century BC Punic shipwreck off the coast of Sicily. Anna and her team spent 4 years excavating the ship, and the remains are now on display in Marsala Museum. But there's more. My colleague, Kathy Giagrandi, recently attended the second Anna Frost Foundation-sponsored Under the Mediterranean conference in Malta and interviewed my friend and colleague Claire Calcagno, who, 3 years after Anna died, discovered an unfinished manuscript in Anna's archive. Although Anna published a full scientific excavation report about the Marsala ship, as the Sicilian shipwreck came to be known, nobody knew she had plans for a more reflexive book about the site and her involvement in its excavation. Here is Claire describing the moment she found the lost manuscript.
I'm grateful for this chance to tell you about my work. I'm a maritime archaeologist by training, and the last few years, really, I've been focused on the history of maritime archaeology. And because of this, I got involved with a Sicilian friend and colleague, Elena Flavia, and we went about almost 10 years ago to Marsala in western Sicily to interview people from Marsala who had worked with Anna Frost during her project of excavating the Punic ship. Not so much the scientists and archaeologists, but actually the shipwrights, the local people. And we did this and interviewed folks, and the foundation actually gave us, incidentally, access to some of Frost's boxes of papers. Said, well, maybe you can find some interesting things there related to the Punic ship and the people. Well, we went and began opening different boxes, and there was one flowered box with the word Phoenix on it, and I opened it up, and among other things, I pulled out a 3-ring binder, and Flavia was looking at other boxes at the time, and I opened this up, and I start to read, and I recognize Anna Frost's writing. She writes in a beautiful way. You may know from her book, Under the Mediterranean.
Right.
And she starts writing about a phoenix not being born from fire, but being born from waves. She is writing actually about the Punic ship.
So
and this binder was...
Oh my gosh, this was about the wreck.
This was about the wreck. And I get goosebumps every time I tell anybody about it. I turned to Elena Flavia and said, look at this. This is a manuscript, a three-ring binder with typed manuscript where she's telling the story about what it was like for her to go to Sicily and work on this project.
Oh my gosh. So what did you do next?
Well, we were both very excited because neither of us had ever heard of a book written by Honor, like a memoir, because flipping through the pages, we could tell what it was. She's published all her scientific papers and so on and popular magazines. But what was this? And then we opened up more items from that same box and found letters to publishers. We also found notes for chapters that had never been written. So it ends up being that we found an unpublished, unfinished manuscript that told the story of Honor in Sicily. And we said, well, we've got to bring this back to life. And I haven't even said the title of the book is The Second Life of a Phoenix, the story of a Punic ship resurrected in a Sicilian town. And so the title of my talk was, let's give another life to the Phoenix to bring it back. So the Phoenix sank, the Punic ship sank, then it was resurrected during the excavation. We're giving it yet another life by helping to make Honor's memoir about that experience available, also translated into Italian.
Oh.
So in English and Italian.
Great. That'll be fantastic. And is it illustrated? Was it illustrated? Did she draw? Did she photograph?
Absolutely. We even have a sketch that she intended for the cover of the book, which is just this marvelous phoenix coming out of the waves. Her first career was as an illustrator. She only came to archaeology, you know, when she was in her early 40s. So absolutely she has illustrations planned for her book. She has an enormous slide collection, black and white pictures. And so part of this project was actually to try to reconstruct what she intended for her book. For the finished chapters, 7 finished chapters, some information she left, you know, about what images she needed. But others we needed to sort of extrapolate. She would write and then say, parentheses, figure. And I would think, okay, what could go there? So it's fantastic because it's given us the opportunity to explore her archives and valorize her intention to share this story even with a larger public beyond the scientific community, which she was always about
sharing
and
teaching and letting everybody learn. Is there a favorite chapter in that book
for you? Is there
a
favorite chapter?
Can you tell us what it's about?
I have to say, even the very first chapter, where she's really talking about, it's interesting, the connection between the English community that found its way to Western Sicily because of the development of the wine trade. You think, well, what does that matter? Well, think about it. The Punic ship was actually discovered by a vessel, a dredging vessel. They were dredging for sand. Why? To make bottles out of the sand for the local Marsala wine industry.
Oh,
so there's a wine connection there, you know, and why the vessel was discovered. And there's a wine connection to when the vessel was actually finally excavated. The folks who were able to help her in Marsala, they were from the wine industry. Pietro Alagna, head of the Cantine Pellegrino, was able to help Honor and her group in many, many ways by providing facilities to conserve the timbers in big vats. And he was crucial on many, many fronts. But that's a connection to the wine industry. And the last one is that if you go to Marsala today to see the Punic Ship Museum, it is actually staged in a former wine storage factory, the Baglio Anselmi. So there's all these connections with the wine industry, and she really explores that in her first chapter. The Punic ship was in an area with a number of apparent wreck sites that were not cargo vessels. All that was found was ballast stones. And so she explores the historical context of that related to the ship itself, but also how it relates to the history of Western Sicily and the Egadi Islands and the vessel itself being connected to sea battle that was fought at the end of the First Punic War, just off the coast there. So, and then she goes into, you know, different historical analyses of how the configuration of the sea battles could have been. But she, the thing is, she is such a good writer. She is so lyrical. She is so erudite. She has beautiful connections and similes and metaphors. She's just, I can't wait for other people to read her words.
Okay, so Claire, when are we going to be able to see this publication?
Well, I would like to know that too. we had been hoping it could be published last year, to be honest, to celebrate the 50 years of the discovery of the Punic ship in August of 1971. We haven't quite made that, but we're really hoping that 2023 will be the year that the book comes out, hopefully at the same time in English and Italian. And Honor was keen for it to be available to her Italian colleagues and Sicilian colleagues. She actually intended for it to be also in French, but we haven't tackled that part yet. So watch this space through Sidestone Press.
Okay, fantastic. Claire, thank you so much. We're really looking forward to it.
Thank you very much.
Wow, from that first baptism in the well in Wimbledon to the discovery of her long-lost manuscript about one of her most pioneering excavations, Honor influenced and continues to influence the field of maritime archaeology today. You can find out more about the Marsala Punic ship by visiting our virtual exhibition on the website. But for now, thanks for listening to this Dive and Dig news podcast created by the Honor Frost Foundation, a charity that supports maritime archaeology in the Eastern Mediterranean.